Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left, 23 left. Win. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the post-game show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Hey, thanks. Here's Josh Allen.
In that room, and whether we're playing really good, whether we're playing really bad, this team, we're going to stick together and continue to fight and continue to try to find ways to win football games, and I think we saw that tonight.
Now that it's over, can you say that during the week there was a little bit of motivation to prevent that team from taking your title at least this week?
Absolutely. You know, it's the most important one because it's the next one. I know I say that a lot. It's no different. You know, we understood what was at stake, but at the same time, that wasn't really in the back of our heads. We were just, hey, we got to find a way to win a football game, and, That's what we did tonight.
On the road against a team that just won 10 games in a row, I know that you talked about, rebounding at halftime, but what sparked you guys? Because it felt like there was no hope for a while there.
Yeah. Score, stop, score. I think that's what we did coming out. I think we've been pretty dang good at that over the course of the season. Now, obviously, we want to start faster. We don't want to continue to put ourselves in these holes that we're finding ourselves in, but being able to dig ourselves out and be battle tested come down the stretch here. But yeah, I would love to find ways earlier on in the game to get things going so we don't have to put ourselves in that situation.
You said score, stop, score after the Steelers game. I think it was you guys were on defense, stop, score, stop, whatever it was. Are those words like said at halftime? Does somebody get up and say that this is what we need to do?
Yeah, and if it's not said, it's known within the locker room. But yeah, it's said by a lot of guys. You know, that's the belief that we have in each other of this is what we're going to do. And it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to go out there and do it.
What have you seen with Dawson Knox the last couple of weeks?
I mean, he just continues to find himself in good situations. He's been making plays. Early on in the year, maybe not a whole lot of hay coming his way, but he's never once complained. He's worked his butt off. He's blocked his tail off in the run game. He's finding himself with these opportunities, come the last few weeks, and he's taking advantage of them. And I love the guy.
Josh, you were almost seeking out contact today, second downs, running into linebackers. Is that AFC East title on the line, or is what goes into your decision with those?
I wish I could tell you, to be honest. Sometimes it's just that's what the play calls for. I don't know. It's just trying to make plays for the football team.
Yesterday, like for you guys were in Providence, right? We're fairly close to the shooting, and
the shelter in place and all that, what was the day like
for you? Very, very scary situation. Obviously, condolences to the families, and you know, prayers are out to everyone that was involved and affected by it. It's a terrible thing. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we're out. Some guys are eating dinner, you know, blocks away from where it was going on, and you know, making sure that we were getting updates from our team. And I thought we did a great job of communicating with everybody and adding some extra security, you know, at the hotel. But yeah, very scary situation.
You guys had already, you were already in town, and you were able to get out of the hotel before it happened.
Correct.
So there were guys out and about.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I was told that you guys got in right as it was happening. You went right to the hotel, so that was not true. You guys were in and.
I don't know the timeline exactly, but I know there was guys at dinner when the text was being sent out.
Josh, how are you physically? The broadcast showed you vomiting, throwing up a little bit on the sideline.
That's, I mean, if they don't catch it every game, I don't know. Like, it basically happens every game. You know, if I don't get enough out pregame, you know, it usually happens at halftime. If I don't get enough at halftime, it usually happens in the third or fourth quarter. And that's just, I don't know why I do it. It just happens, and it's due to nothing else but other than just like a weird feeling. Just got to get it out.
So yeah, you a little slow to get up after one play too. Any issues health wise?
No, all good. Yeah.
Josh, I know after a lot of these comebacks that you guys make, we ask you if there's a play or a moment that stands out. Is there in this game?
I think, you know, coming out of that second half, may have been Ray Davis' return. You know, putting us in good field position. Giving us confidence of, hey, like, let's just go play football now, and we don't have to worry about the score. We're going to take it one game at one play at a time. But him, he did a great job. He's done a great job the entire season, you know, in that kickoff return spot, and you know, he's set us up for some really good field position.
I haven't been in games like this. Could you see them starting to get tighter and starting to maybe lose confidence a little bit as you guys were wearing them down?
I wouldn't say that. That's a fantastic team. You said they won 10 straight, right? You don't win 10 straight by not being a really, really fantastic football team. So, again, it just kind of sometimes comes down to who makes more plays, and tonight that was us.
Point on the sideline on a play, Matt Milano looked like he got punched in the face, and he responded with probably one of the best halves he's played all season. How much did that mean to that defense? I know you were on the tablet, but.
Yeah, I mean, I know he had a couple sacks tonight, some big-time plays for our defense. You know, that's the Matt Milano we all know and love.
Yeah, the third down game on the line, you'd call a play for Ty Johnson. I know you've been very complimentary of, you know, what he provides to this team, but to see him, you know, kind of gut out those tough yards and kind of ice the game for you there, what's that mean to you?
I mean, he's always been ready. He stays ready. Whenever his number's called, you know, he's primarily our third down back. But, you know, when he has the ball in his hands, typically good things happen. He's a thicker little guy, like just built. And he's hard to bring down. So, you know, in that situation, just giving him the ball and letting him push the pile.
What was the thought after you did all that work to finally get ahead, and then one play later, they're back in the lead, so you got to do it again? What was the feeling there?
Get up and get out there and play football, one play at a time.
You once talked about the Brady era Patriots being the standard of the AFC East, as they were for so long. You guys keep your season alive here, or your AFC alive. What's your pride in being the standard bearer for this division?
Well, honestly, we're not in first place right now, so I can't say that we're the standard bearer. Obviously, the last five-ish years, you know, we've found sustained success, but never been able to, you know, punch our ticket to the Super Bowl. And at the end of the goal, that's every team's dream. And you know, our goal is not just to win AFC Easts. You know, you got to get into the playoffs to give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl. So that's what we're trying to do.
News over the last 48 hours. I mean, is this weekend been a bit of a whirlwind for you?
I mean, I've known for a long time, right? So it's not that crazy to me. But yeah, I mean, obviously the love that I've received from, you know, teammates and friends. You know, it's a really cool, special moment in my life and my wife's life. And yeah.
Josh, this team, your team and you don't lack for confidence, but when you're able to win a game like this, down 21-0 and whatever it was that time, what does it do? Anything? Because you guys do play at such a high confidence level, but then to be able to do that, there has to be some sort of growth or a realization, no?
I think it's maybe over the course of the season what we've done, and you saw it today, of what makes this team, of, you know, we're not out of it, you know? We're going to continue to fight one play at a time. No matter what the score is, if it's in the third quarter, it's in the fourth quarter, whatever it is, you know, if we've got a chance and we got the ball, you know, we feel like we like our chances, and you know, that's that. I guess.
Josh Allen and the Bills rally past New England, 35-31, keeping their hopes alive for a sixth straight AFC East title. Still, they'll need a lot of help. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. Sean McDermott's, you haven't missed it, press conference still to come. That will be presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Bulldog, had them all the way?
Had them all the way. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm pretty sure that this is not the best edition of this Super Bowl caliber team that they've had for the last 5 years. But, man, back-to-back weeks with this comeback stuff, they might be the most fun version of this team we've seen in its current state, you know, going back to 2020 and entertaining. I mean, holy cow. Yeah, it really felt dark as ever to me in that first half. I mean, it's a long way to go, but down 21-0, even after they scored, not taking a timeout right away when New England is starting that drive. You know, if they could have stopped, they had a chance to get the ball back. It was a very frustrating half, I think, for fans, and I include myself in that. And they found a switch and flipped it. And really, I mean, it was a huge play that obviously counts. The only thing New England did that whole second half was that long Henderson touchdown after the Bills took the lead the first time. The only play of consequence they had in the whole half. It's kind of incredible. And the Bills actually had it stopped up that they didn't contain on the edges. Epinesa and Harrison got beat, and Henderson showed off his world-class speed. But, man, it's a big play to give up, but New England could not do any business in the second half of this game.
In the big picture, the whole purpose of this season is to get to and win a Super Bowl. Can you do that this way? Just like...
Boy, I don't know.
I just, you know, I mean... When I left home to come to work after the first half, my thinking was, you know, they could still win. We've seen the Bills. I mean, they're almost never blown out. So even at 21-0, like, they're probably going to get their points in this game, even if it's like after it's too late. I never ruled out the possibility of a win at any point today. But I was also thinking of last week too, which you already mentioned. Can you really beat everybody like this? Can the Bills beat everybody like this? They still will need New England to lose a game to the Dolphins or the Jets to have any chance at the AFC East. We knew that before this game. We knew it at 21-0, and we know it now. So they did enjoy the privilege of denying the Patriots. I don't know what the Patriots will wear home because they don't get hats and T-shirts. Which I'm sure they were all very excited about.
Yeah.
The hats and the T-shirts, right? Like, they were going to wear those all around town all week. But, like, they enjoy – the Bills get to enjoy the win itself and then also denying New England the division title, which could have made life easier for the Bills, you know, because their playoff odds would still have been in the mid to high 90s had they lost. It's a fun day. I just wish it meant more. Because if this game meant more – this would have been incredible, like, to win that game from 21-0 down.
Sure, if this game were to tie for the division, and you know,
at least
like that, you know, you could have had a lot more there, but yeah, I mean, it might mean more, it might mean nothing. You know, we don't get the final answer on that for a few weeks here. The Bills have, right, the Patriots have the Ravens next week, and then those two games with the Jets and the Dolphins, one on the road against the Jets, home against the Dolphins to close the season. Today gives you a look at caring about that Miami game, if that's the one. I think that's the one you should focus on, in my opinion. You know, the Jets just I don't think they'll put up much of a challenge when the Patriots get to that game. So right now we can't say that it means a lot, but it still could. And that was really the best you could do today.
Right.
Was give yourself that chance to, you know, sit there on the floor of your living room with your hands behind your knees, like crouched down, like staring at the TV, hoping Miami beats New England week 18. Like, that's maybe what we bought today. A lot of football left, though. The Bills got to beat the Browns and beat the Eagles in order to give that even a chance.
We just heard from Josh Allen. We'll get the stats in a second. Funny tweet from Derek. I did not hear to answer his question on Twitter. Allen thanked the Bills fans in New England for not leaving early today. But maybe he did in private. Let's get you the the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up.
Well, it was a pretty modest overall day statistically for Allen. He goes 19 of 28 passing for 193 yards, but three touchdowns passing on the day. Two of those to Dawson Knox, who caught three passes for 37 yards. James Cook caught the other, only two catches and 4 yards. It was a short touchdown throw and catch for Cook there. Rushing-wise, James Cook goes over 100 again, 22 for 107, two touchdowns on the ground, including a great job on, I think, the first one to stay alive there and get the ball over the goal line. Allen carries 11 times for 48 yards. Ty Johnson closed it out, 4 for 13. Shakir led the way receiving, 5 for 65. You heard maybe during Josh's appearance there, Matt Milano had two sacks on the day. I think we're ready for Sean McDermott.
Here to support us today. Resilient, tough football team. And when you're down like we were at halftime, thought the staff did a great job making adjustments, players executed. Point out a couple guys here just to celebrate. Ray Davis, big time, couple big time kickoff returns that helped set up field position for us and scoring opportunities. Milano with two sacks. I know Trey White had an interception, which is a big time play for us there. James Cook over 100 yards, so credit the O-line as well and everybody involved in our offensive running game. And then Dawson Knox, what a week. Holy smokes, right? Having a new baby, he and his wife, and congratulations to them. And then two touchdowns today and setting the record for Buffalo Bills all-time leading touchdown receptions as a tight end. So great award, great honor. And a great leader as well. So of our football team. So that's all right, Chris. You got it.
You said that the coaches did a good job of putting some adjustments together. I know you like to be as even keeled as you possibly can, no matter the circumstance. How did you deliver your messaging at halftime? Because those guys looked like they got shot out of a cannon in the second half.
Yeah, our guys, they understand. They have a good feel for when they are and when they're not playing the way we need to play. And, I saw Josh as I was kind of bringing everybody up, and he looked at me, and I just knew he was seeing it like I was. And then the entire team was on the same vibe. So those guys went out there, again, started with our kickoff return with Ray and the group, and then and credit Coach Tabes and Coach West there as well. And, we got into a good rhythm.
Sean, this is new. I mean, kind of done it time and again, second half of games this season. Obviously, it's a sign of remarkable resilience, but is it problematic in a sense, too, of like some of the slow starts?
Always a but, Jay. Always a but. How about an and? That's something we have to work on, something we have to, get into a rhythm sooner. But there's also an ability to adjust during a game. Anybody can come up with a game plan, but it's also what happens when they take certain things away. Are you able to pivot and adjust? And I think that's a sign of a great staff.
Defensively in the first half, what was the problem? What do you think was holding you guys back?
Yeah, well, we were giving up some runs, and then because of that, they were a two-dimensional offense and keeping us off balance a little bit there. So run defense usually starts with gap integrity, so we'll look at it and address it, and we've got to be better, that's for sure.
After the long touchdown run, after you'd taken the lead, they get the one-play touchdown. It just felt like that took some stones there to bounce back from that the way you did, and you did it pretty quickly. Just, can you kind of address that point of the game and how proud you might be of how they responded to that?
Yeah, that was huge. First of all, for the offense to go and counter, when they score, we need to counter, regardless of who it is. And then the defense, when they went back out there, they knew it was one play. They had been playing really tough football in the second half. Credit Bobby and the defensive staff and the players for that. The good adjustments again, and they were playing really well. And, they made a play. That player's a special player, and he's got speed for sure. So we need to take better angles than we did on the back side of it. That's where it bounced back to on the cutback. So it
looks like your passing game has really diversified itself by tapping into the tight ends and the running backs. I mean, today, 13 receptions, 3 touchdowns for your running backs and tight ends in the passing game. How do you feel that has kind of morphed your passing game here down the stretch?
Yeah, it's important that you don't just target one position group, one player. Josh did a great job. I thought Joe called a great game, in particular in the second half. And, you know, Josh was taking what the defense was giving him. And that's a sign of an offense that's unselfish, that's disciplined, and is in a rhythm.
I apologize if you addressed it before I came in, but the decision not to challenge on their long completion on the first possession,
yeah,
what went into that?
We didn't have a replay quick enough for us to do it. What I saw on the video board, it was close, and you never know. So we didn't have any replay, and they got up to the ball fast. So it's at the end of the day, it worked out. So.
Are you given any descriptions when there's replay assistant coming in, why it happens or why it doesn't? Because I think a lot of fans were confused about that a couple times, but it felt like there was replay assistant and some there wasn't.
Your question's a little bit cloudy, but the short answer is sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. And, the referees do a really good job of communicating, especially since the onset of the replay assist. It's loud in the stadium, so in their defense, but sometimes they chime in, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you think they will and they don't, but it's all part of the game. The game ebbs and flows, and whether it's a challenge in the first half, if I had a better, we didn't have any view in the booth upstairs, so it was a hard deal.
Sean, a couple of your players said that they did hear the Patriots chirping at halftime, particularly Diggs and Hollins, two of your guys. Were very demonstrative. They said they took it to heart a little bit. Did you notice any of that?
No, I didn't. This game isn't about any one player or two players in this case. Those guys are great players, and really it's just about a team game. That's what it's about. And our team finished the game today the way we needed to finish and got a win, so we move on.
You talked about feeling players quite often. Did you feel Matt Milano today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was vibing out there. You probably felt him up in the box. I mean, 2 sacks. Bobby made those 2 calls, and Matt cashed in. So it was good to see. He's been working his tail off to get himself back to where he was today. So I credit him and all the training staff and everything.
Does it feel good not let them celebrate today?
It feels good to win. It does. I mean, we came in here to play a football game. We're not really into their goals. We're into our own journey, and we have a lot of respect for them, and their coaches do a great job. So, we just came, wanted to play as good as we could and get a win, and we did.
Hey, Sean, what went into the decision after you've been active today?
Again, just trying to, put guys based on the game plan, week to week in there that, we feel like is the right approach. We'll go back and reevaluate. After this week as well, offensively, defensively, and special teams.
And
we have a lot of confidence in game.
Sorry if you were asked this already. Any update on Jordan Phillips?
No, I don't have anything for you.
Bit of a scary situation yesterday. What was the 24 hours leading up to this game like for you and your team?
Yeah, I should have started this press conference off by extending our prayers, thoughts, sympathies. Just in a shame, a very unfortunate situation and a shame. It really is. And, I pray for them. We prayed for them as a team last night, for everyone involved, Brown University. There's things in life that are bigger than football, and I thought it was important that we did that when we came together as a team last night. So, I'm just ashamed, just unfortunate and ashamed that goes on in our world.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Sean McDermott and the Bills come back and beat New England 35-31. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll take a break and look for your calls shortly. 803-0550 here in the 716 area code. Buffalo 10-4, a game behind the Patriots after this win with still a chance at a 6th straight AFC East title. Back in a moment. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
A tale of two halves for the Buffalo Bills, once again en route to a 35-31 comeback win over the New England Patriots. A chaotic win for Buffalo, but it didn't start that way. The Bills were down 21-0 in the first half. However, the Bills rifled off five straight touchdown drives, three of them after halftime. Josh Allen and James Cook, the stars that shined along the day, each of them accounting for three touchdowns and combining for the first one that Buffalo scored today. Allen, 19 of 28, 193 yards passing with three touchdowns in the air, while Cook had 22 carries for 107 yards rushing and two touchdowns on the ground. Cook had the receiving touchdown as well. Khalil Shakir led the Bills with five catches for 65 yards receiving. Dawson Knox added a pair of receiving touchdowns in the win. The Patriots got a dominant performance from running back Travion Henderson. In this game, the rookie went for 148 yards and two touchdowns on 14 carries. With the win, the Bills remain alive in the AFC East division race. They'll still need some help from either the New York Jets or Miami Dolphins in a couple of weeks' time. What's next for the Bills in the meantime? They're on the road to take on the Cleveland Browns next Sunday at 1 o'clock. Around the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars keep hold of the AFC South, dominating the New York Jets 48-20. The Houston Texans staying in the seventh seed of the AFC thanks to their 40-20 win over the Arizona Cardinals. The Baltimore Ravens staying in the AFC North race and eliminating the Cincinnati Bengals with a 24-0 shutout win. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs have been eliminated from playoff contention, losing 16-13 to the Los Angeles Chargers. Scores around the league delivered by the UPS Store. Be unstoppable. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Four-man rush. Allen steps up, fires, and he's got Knox in the end zone for a touchdown. Josh Allen with a laser to Dawson Knox for his second touchdown reception of the game. And the Bills, for the first time, have come all the way back to take the lead.
One of Josh Allen's touchdown passes on the afternoon as we look at our Eye on the Quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. Quickly here, Allen, three touchdown passes, 19 of 28, 193 through the air, 48 yards on 11 carries on the ground. The other touchdown, by the way, two went to Knox, the other one went to James Cook. I feel like I've been doing this long enough to know that as I get done talking here, we're about to start taking calls. So let me tell you that I believe it's going to be time to get our ServPro first response from the fans. ServPro cleaning, restoration, and construction like it never even happened. Get your quote now at ServPro.com. Am I right?
Is that up to me?
It is, actually.
I have to decide right now whether I'd rather prove you wrong or just do the thing.
You could make me look real bad. Relatively, though.
I have this crazy idea. Kansas City, we'll get to it. Kansas City is out after this loss. It's almost all set. It is. And Patrick Mahomes hurt his knee, and who knows when we'll see him next. I mean, maybe next year. It's almost all settled in the AFC. The Chargers, I think, I'm going by the New York Times playoff. I'm so pumped up having this $1 a week subscription to the New York Times. The playoff picture app, the only team I can find of the tops, well, forget the AFC North, right? That's its own category. Right. Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Cincinnati's done. 4-10. You think they'd be done. They are, finally. Apart from that group, the lowest percent chance to make the playoffs of the six teams that are in, removing the Steelers and the Ravens for this, is the Chargers at 94%.
Wow.
With three games left. Indianapolis is at 31. Miami still has some outside chance, but everybody else is like Houston even. It's like 98, or the Bills are over 99%. The Chargers, or rather the Broncos, the Patriots. It's almost all about the positioning at this point, and this Bills win gives the Bills a chance at still getting to the top. I guess we should want Green Bay to beat Denver, something we might not have cared about had the Bills lost today. That is 3-0 Packers with the ball relatively late in the first quarter. We, as Bulldog mandates, we'll get to your calls here, 803-0550. Greg is up next. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Chubb and the Bulldog, love the show. Chubb, you just made a comment on the significance of this game. I think this game was hugely significant. You're defending five straight AFC East titles. You know, you lose that game, they get to wear the hats in front of you. You know, we lose that game, and, you know, a first-year head coach comes in, he sweeps you guys, takes the division, and they look like the hottest team. Now, you know, they have to go and win and beat Baltimore, and that, you know, that's
no, they don't.
Task. After being...
I'm not sure I have to care about hats and T-shirts and whether Mike Vrabel has been there before.
Well, I'll say this. Now they're on their heels. They just played their first really good team. They've had a softball schedule, and now they got to go play Baltimore. And, you know, they were up 24-7. They lost that game. Like, they should have won, and they lost it. You know, so and also, I think we just locked up a playoff spot. You know, you lose that game, you know, and then the pressure's on.
Yeah, you were 96% to make it if you lost.
Yeah.
If you care about feelings this much, then sure. I really don't. I don't care about hats. I don't care about Mike Vrabel's tenure. I don't care about, you know, who's on their heels and any of that stuff. Every week is different. And if Vrabel is as good as everybody thinks he is, I doubt it has a lingering effect. They have to lose to Miami or the Jets, or else you're the wild card. Today was really fun. Please don't take me to think that it wasn't. Like, today feels really good, but it's really only about feelings. Almost only about feelings.
It becomes more significant if the Bills can keep winning, and if nothing else. And this cuts both ways. I mean, the Bills won this game, so they're going to keep going hard here because they're not going to settle into, oh, is 5, 6, or 7 the more favorable matchup or anything? If they even were going to acknowledge it, we would certainly kill a lot of time talking about it, I know. But if the Bills manage to beat Cleveland and Philly, Miami's, you know, got something to play for. Maybe we'll see by the time we get to Week 18. Oof. New England will have something to play for Week 18. They're going to have to play Week 18. So even if they're playing for the bye, we'll see about Denver. I'm forcing them to continue to go. They're not going to get to coast. And that's not nothing. It may be all of it today. That's all that today gets me. But it could get me more. So, I mean, certainly, and you're not saying different. I mean, I'm glad they won the game. There could be a tremendous benefit to it down the road. But sitting here today, the downside of a loss was not going to be any kind of a tragedy. We would have felt bad. We would have been unloading about timeout usage and replay reviews and who knows what else. Oof. But that all sort of gets not entirely swept away, but it's over there for now. You know, they gave themselves a chance. That's all they could do today. And I, for one, you know, I appreciate spoiling the party. I appreciate Patriots players walking off at halftime like they'd won something. If indeed that happened, that was brought up in one of the news conferences there, I think, to McDermott. I am a feelings guy, and this feels good, and depriving them of that also feels good. I hope it turns into more than that because, you know, that might only, you know, get me through tonight. You know, I'm going to need more eventually, but they did all they could do today, and to me it's not nothing. We'll see how significant it is in a few weeks.
McDermott was asked if he noticed the quote chirping, and he said no, but hey, if it's one or two, like he seemed to have some idea of who did it because he was right in between whether it was one guy, Diggs, or two, and Hollins, that was you know, being referenced. Thanks, Greg. Let's go to Nick next. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to talk about how resilient this Bills team has been. You know, that Ravens game to start the year, the Bengals game, and now the Patriots. It's just like this team has no quit in them. And you got to feel really good going into the playoffs with the amount of fight that this team has in them.
I never really questioned that.
I like the fight. I would rather not have to fight back quite as much. I'd rather not take first halves off. I'd rather be able to tackle. I'd rather be able to protect my quarterback at the beginning of these games. I mean, they were really in the weeds to start this game. I mean, I appreciate it, but I don't need to be watching games in January trying to come back from 21-0 down early in the first half. Thanks, myself. But, you know.
Who are these good teams that don't compete? Like, is it special that the Bills competed after being down like this? Is it special? Is it unusual? I don't know. It's Allen. They can go to halftime. They can be down 3 touchdowns. If you doubted it, that's on you. If you sat there watching this game at 2 o'clock from a 1 p.m. kick and thought Josh Allen would not get his points, his stuff, that's on you. When does he ever not? So I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe they'll do the thing Bulldog is saying right here that's really hard that I, of course, would say the same thing to, that they'll be down all the time in the playoffs and win anyway because they have some special amount of courage or whatever. I don't know. I don't think it works like that. I don't know what the Dolphins' playoff percentage was before the 1 o'clock games. It's less than 1% now. The same New York Times thing. If Miami wins all four, they're 2%. Today was bad for them. And they were a long shot anyway, but Chargers winning, Houston winning, Bills winning, they're kind of like locked out.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to catch anyone. So it's probably not realistic. Thank you for clarifying that or making it so clear. Like, I shouldn't count on Miami having anything to play for in Week 18. That doesn't mean they won't still want to spoil the party, and that's, you know, what you're going to have to be rooting for.
Right. 35-31, the Bills come back and beat the Patriots today to keep their chances alive in the AFC East. 10-4, New England 11-3, Buffalo at Cleveland, 1 p.m. next Sunday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll be right back. This is Buffalo Bills football. Bills over the Patriots, incredibly, 35-31, 21-0 down, 24-7 at the half. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays. Thanks for listening. We'll get to your calls again in just a moment. Josh Allen throws up all the time.
Yeah, I've never seen him on camera before. At least I've never noticed it on camera before. Maybe people have seen it.
Well, he said, oh, they caught me this time? Because it's all the time.
Yeah,
did we know this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Jim Kelly would throw up before every game. I knew that.
It's the same thing. Yeah. I never heard Kelly was famous in the stall, like in the locker room before the game. I don't know about Kelly in game, but Allen, I think explaining it sounded like, you know, it happens whenever.
You don't go to the blue tent if you're throwing up?
Eh.
That's nothing? That's like, do all the players just throw up constantly and we just don't
maybe
see it?
Maybe it depends on whether you're on a natural surface or an artificial one.
Wouldn't that be maybe something that would get you to the blue tent?
You'd think.
If I'm an independent neurologist, I would just not care about that. Players throwing up on the sideline? For all the money and effort invested in this area, it's nothing? It's just like literally nothing? Okay. Never knew... Never thought about that before, I guess. Not until it was today, seeing a player, in this case Josh Allen, throwing up on the screen, that it came to mind. 803-0550 for your calls. Late games. Green Bay is goal to go, but it's fourth down now. They're up 3-0 in Denver. Potentially a relevant game in the AFC playoff picture. Certainly is, with Denver leading the West. Green Bay kicks a field goal and goes up 6-0 there early second quarter. Indianapolis still alive. Phillip Rivers making his return today 3-3 with the ball early second quarter in Seattle. Not terrible. Two touchdown underdog hanging in there with the Seahawks. Let's go to Chris here. Hi, Chris.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I just wanted to say that I enjoy listening to you immensely. You guys are league leading, whether you're analyzing the Bills or talking about pizza toppings. You represent excellence in radio broadcasting. I wanted to get a bit granular in the first half. You know, Joe Brady's play calling was sort of giving me fits. There was a specific play about 10 minutes left in the second quarter. It was 3rd and 15. Bills.
Yeah.
Needed I know this to, play. You know, 3rd and long. And the play, it was a shotgun formation. Josh Allen immediately threw it to Shakir. He did not look downfield. It was a screen pass to Shakir. Very low probability play, which resulted in a 4th down. With the Bills down 14 to nothing, I just want to get your thoughts on that if you caught on to that.
Yes.
I definitely noticed because I have been defending that play. Has become a play that fans, every time it doesn't work, say it never works. And it does. Even last week's game, we had a caller, one such caller. It never works, and they got a couple of first downs and some nice gains out of it in the game last week. 3rd and 15, the only excuse I have for them is that they didn't have faith they could protect Allen at that point and wanted to get the ball out of his hands, but it felt like a give-up play. To me, that was a version that was them running that play in a moment that just feeds the criticism of it because it was warranted. It really was not a play that had a great chance of getting 15 yards in that moment.
No. I mean, that to me, that was the low point of the game, I thought. It really was. Like, what – you want to think that McDermott and Brady – are simpatico, that they're sort of like on the same wavelength and are communicating. And, you know, I'm not saying they're not or they don't, but what was the point? Like if you ran the ball there, you want a punt. If you take a 7-step drop and throw the ball on like a 15-yard out or in or, you know, slant, something like that down the field, maybe you get a penalty. Maybe it's incomplete. Worst case scenario, other than a pick, you'd like to think you could avoid that. Then you're going to punt just the same. What were they hoping would happen there? Shakir gives them 7 to make it 4th and 8 at the 41. Like, if they get any closer to the first down and not make it, they probably go for it. They're never going to kick a field goal off of that. What would that be? A 56-yard attempt in the snow? Like, there's no field goal outcome by that. I hated it. I felt like a play where they were just not talking to each other and never even thought about the possible outcomes.
I thought it was a sign when I first saw the play that, okay, 4th and 15 or 3rd and 15, cut it in half. And this is a sign you're going to go for it. You're kind of in that no man's land right in between the 40s, right in that area of the field. And so, you know, before I got really mad at the play call, I thought, well, you're giving yourself a manageable look at 4th down. But they just punted anyway. So that made me hate it. I doubled down on my dislike of the choice there.
We were talking on Friday with Boston reporter Mike Giardi. And we were talking about Mike Vrabel. And he referenced Belichick, the Belichick years. And, like, wasn't it – if this wasn't Mike Giardi, please correct me. I know you will. He was talking about how, like, for all those years, Belichick would make decisions that would seem wrong – punting and this kind of thing, but they would just get away with it. And when he was saying all that, I was thinking to myself, like, well, that doesn't make him right, or does it? I think the point was that he was vindicated, you know, usually because, and I think that's the Bills today.
where, I mean, they punt, that was their second punt from across the 50. The first was fourth and five from the 46, I think. I mean, they're getting buried at this point, but I guess they're not all the way buried because they were still breathing and eventually won.
Dug out.
So is this one where, like, it's fine because they won? This sort of a microcosm of how we spend most of our time day to day around this team, which is like, oh, geez, I can't get open. I can't tackle. I'm punting from the 41-yard line. What kind of sense does that make? Oh, that's, we won? Okay. Great.
Right.
Oh, we're only running the ball. We can't throw it. You know, today it was how, oh, they completed six passes to wide receivers. Wait, is that good? I guess it's good because it means the running backs catch the ball and the tight ends catch, like, same as the last two games, which were both, you know, also wins. It's just that feels like our lives every day now, mm-hmm. where this kind of thing is, yikes. Oh, never mind. We got that call the other day, too, which was the guy who was hot because the Bills, they blitzed Cincinnati, or so right. he thought, late in the game. Like, why doesn't anybody even bring this up? None of the media will talk about it. And I'm here, sitting here with you in the media going, I don't know, is it important? Didn't they win? Like, is it important? Is anything important? Roll Allen out. That play to Knox, that one touchdown pass after the holding penalty that took down his rushing touchdown.
Right.
Is crazy good. Who cares if you go for it or punt or whatever all day? You have that. You just have
that
to.
Was that fourth down?
No, that was third and goal from the 14.
Okay. Thank you.
You just have to be able to win a Super Bowl like that. And we've seen the last 5 years how ultimately they were not able to. Maybe that's different now for, you know, one of several reasons, one being that Kansas City will not be in the playoffs. I don't know. But the caller's right. Like, that was nuts, I think. Kevin is next. Hi, Kevin.
So, Bulldog, what up, fellas?
Let's go, Kevin.
Man, listen, Victory Sunday.
Say
I agree
it.
With you, man, when you said that this game was just more or less, I mean, it was a, I won't say moral victory. We let them know that, hey, listen, we still the big dogs in this doggone division. I mean, did we spoil their party? Yeah, we did. Did we get another game where Buffalo, I mean, got us all sitting on the edge of our seat? Yeah, they did. But if you're looking at the standings, man, you got the Colts, they're sliding. The Jaguars, man, don't really see a bunch from them. The Chargers barely got by the Chiefs. And then you got Denver playing out in Green Bay. I mean, this thing is wide open for us, man. If we could just solidify this defense, get some guys back, get some guys healthy, man. And we could really make some noise in this playoff thing.
But who doesn't think so?
Right, right.
Everybody who doesn't already think that? So.
Right, right.
The Colts are not too relevant to me. I'm sorry. I already thought
one
that.
One of the first things, it had to be you that said it, because we weren't taking calls yet. You know, can you win a Super Bowl like this? Well, I don't know. We'll see. If Baltimore doesn't make it and Kansas City doesn't make it, maybe. You know, like maybe you can get away with playing like this against these opponents that are going to be in the playoff pool because the other kingpins aren't in and you are. But, you know, I don't know. Shore up the defense. I mean, the idea I had going into this game was that Shaq Thompson had done that. That they were different now against the run. And, I mean, that went up in smoke today. I mean, they got trampled in this game, even without the longest one of the day in the second half, which they had bottled up. And the guy just made a great play, and the Bills were sloppy. Go figure in their discipline there and keeping the edges sound. But, I mean, they just got run over. So any idea that they were out of the woods in that department took a severe hit today.
246 on the ground. I think it was 177 at the half. So that one play is pretty much the whole second half.
Right. That's the only play they made in the whole second half of the game.
At all. Yep. 35-31 Bills. What a ride. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us here on postgame coverage. We'll continue after this. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Officially fourth and five from the 22. Snap to May. Back to pass. Nobody open. Pressure coming. Rolling out to his right. Fires, and it's batted out of the air by Joey Bosa. Incomplete. It's a turnover on downs for Buffalo.
There's our new era signature play of the game. a batted down pass by Joey Bosa on fourth down that gave the Bills the ability to pick up another first down and eventually victory formation and kneel out the game. Play of the Game is brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL.
Those two plays were pretty good, giving Drake May some benefit of the doubt that if he had anybody open, he would have found him because he had time on both plays, third and long and then fourth down, and he never did. It wasn't even long. It was like third and five or something, right? Those two plays, right, their last two plays on offense. Yep. Mm-hmm. He just never got anywhere with the ball and could have run. I mean, that looked like that was an option for him there, but waited it out, and the Bills did a good enough job in coverage to deny him that opportunity. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Bills 35, the Patriots 31. Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo at Cleveland next Sunday at 1. Here's John next. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you, John.
Good. So first, I'd just like to say that I honestly don't think the Patriots are that good. I don't think they're, like, not unlucky, not young, not finding their way, but just bad. You don't blow a lead like that unless there's something that's fundamentally broken. I think there was poor execution, soft mindset, a roster that folds at the momentum that, like, the moment that momentum shifts. This wasn't a loss. I think they just completely collapsed. But second, and this is the part that really matters with me, it's even with the win, the Bills coaching staff just needs to look in the mirror. You can't spot a team like that, a massive lead, and call it acceptable. The team, I think, bailed them out. Josh Allen bailed them out, but the slow start, the lack of urgency, early adjustments coming late, that's, I think, just coaching. So, yeah, I think the Patriots, I mean, honestly, I think they stink. But if the Bills want to be a real team in January, the coaching staff can't rely on heroics every single week. And winning ugly against bad teams, it isn't a flex. I just think it's a warning. So that's all I got to say. And thanks, and go Bills.
Okay, John. Bulldog, anything?
I hope you're right about the Patriots. I don't think you are. They just won 10 in a row. Today was not a good day. I mean, and if you're in the mood to be doling out criticism and praise, the Bills gave up one play of consequence in the entire second half. So, you know, I know what it looked like. And it's a little like, you know, other games. I'm thinking of the Atlanta game where the Bills could not stop Bijan Robinson in the first half of the game, and then they allowed a field goal in the second half. Same thing happened in the loss in Houston. The difference was the offense got on track and came through. I think you're going harder on New England than I would. There's doubts about how battle-tested they are because of the schedule they played, but I don't think that they're much of what the caller accuses them of.
10 straight wins is pretty hard no matter how good you are.
Right.
Luke is next. Hi, Luke.
Hey, fellas. Good evening.
Hi.
So I just wanted to ask you guys if you think the Bills are just simply as confusing as I do. In the first half, I'm thinking that, you know, they don't have a true X, and if they did, maybe they could actually score some points, and they don't have any interior pass rush without Oliver and Hoyt. But if they did, maybe they could stop somebody. And then in the second half, they basically put up 35 points and, you know, buckle up on defense. And I don't necessarily understand the Bills as well as I feel like I have in previous years. So I just want to get your guys' take on if you guys also think that the Bills are kind of confusing this year.
Well, maybe. That's one word for it. They have the best player in the league at the most important position who is able to bail them out of almost any problem. I think that's not confusing. I think, like you, a lot of this game, like last week, like many weeks, it's, oh my God, everything is terrible. Everything else is terrible. Can't get open, can't protect, can't rush the passer, can't cover.
Can't tackle.
yep. But it's however you want it to be. You could call that confusing, or you could say, you know, this is a lot of games this year. I mean, they won a couple of games against bad teams early in the season where they might have lost them had they not gotten roughing the punter penalties in their favor. It's just kind of been like that. So it's consistent but maybe also confusing. I just don't really trust that playing like this can set it, that it's likely that you're going to win 3-4 games in a row in the playoffs, you know, on the road. And so what has to happen to avoid that possibility is to get to run down the Patriots, which you could not have done without a win today, but it's still not, you know, odds on.
Right.
And I just have a hard time watching this team today, last week, more than half their games this year, thinking like, is this team going to get stops on the road in the playoffs? Can they get the ball down the field to actual wide receivers? I don't know. But it also doesn't feel right. There's a word I want to say that I won't say here to sort of, you know, rag on them when they win games, because it's hard to do that. Like, that's a cliche, but 10-4. So I don't know. Well, maybe this again will be the year, like the Colts year, where it's not their best team, but they win anyway. Like that's right. Kind of where my head is at with them. And it was before today, and it is now.
The playoff pool not being full of what we perceive as sharks is something that could give you more hope than that, than any other, you know, any given year, where you're dealing with MVP caliber quarterbacks, teams that have won. This is really large. This is relative to the Chiefs in the AFC. They're the only team that's won. I mean, the Bengals got there one time. I think one of the most confounding things about this team this year is the difference between the first and second half on defense. I already referenced it. The Atlanta game, you know, they did enough defensively the second half of that game to give their offense a chance to come back, and they just couldn't muster any points. But they stabilized after looking like they're going to get – I mean, they're literally getting, you know, jumped out of the building in the first half of some of these games, and then they find a way to stabilize. I mean, more than stabilize. I mean, they shut teams down in the second half of these games, and I just – it's hard. Like the thing we don't know about it is not even necessarily what the Bills are doing to adjust. It's, you know, what is a team with a lead doing? What are they changing? Are they changing something? You know, it would make sense if they were, you know, trying to eat clock, you know, protect a lead, that kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes it bites you. And today, boy, it definitely did bite New England today.
Denver has taken the lead over Green Bay, 5:15 to go in the first half, 7-6. But Green Bay is first and goal. The Rams lead Detroit 14-10. Detroit is at the 8-yard line on third down, though, so driving. Carolina, New Orleans 7-7. San Francisco leads Tennessee 14-10. Indianapolis has taken the lead in Seattle 6-3, midway through the second quarter. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Buffalo 35, New England 31. I mean, one of the best games ever in this series, which goes back 55 years. Has to be. This was an important day for both teams, but especially for New England, and the Bills rug pulled the Patriots. Back in a moment. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills rally from 21 down to win in Foxborough, 35-31. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. Buffalo now 10-4, New England 11-3, and the Bills go to Cleveland next week. I saw, they call it the look-ahead line, when they put the lines up for the following week a few days before these games are played. 9.5 before this game. Cleveland loses badly in Chicago with Shedeur Sanders at quarterback, 31-3? Today was that score, so easy win for the Bears. New England is in Baltimore next Sunday night. The Ravens shut out the Bengals in Cincinnati, 24-0. I doubt you saw any or much of that game with the Bills on at the same time, but any new thoughts on the Ravens? Like, are they a team that, if we are talking about the wild card, you hope either doesn't make it or the Bills avoid? Because to me, not having seen this game, it doesn't jump out to me that they were really that good.
Yeah, I think given the menu choices right now, they are the team that And look, this can be a mistake basing how you feel about what you thought coming into the season or how great the quarterback has been in his career. I still feel like Baltimore, yes, would be a draw that I would rather avoid if I can. Like, if they win the AFC North and are the four seed, I think I might not prefer being in the five spot. But, you know, that might be wrong. They might be as weak as their record at this point. It's really high. I did not sit with that game at all, like you're saying. I don't even know that I saw. I think I saw a couple of highlights. There's a touchdown to Zay Flowers, his first receiving touchdown since week one against the Bills.
That's right. That was nice.
So I think when you're dealing with someone who – I mean, this is the whole thing on the Bills, too. I mean, they don't have the record that the Ravens have, going in. But let them get in the door, and, you know, if there's a gunfight at the bar – they might be the last one standing because they've got a rock star quarterback and, you know, they've got experience. And, like, that's a lot of what the Bills' resume is right now.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore 7-7 after their win. They also had a pick six in the win over the Bengals today. Pittsburgh hosts Miami tomorrow night. Look for a New England-Baltimore, again, look-ahead line, but don't see one. That's next Sunday night. Let's go to... Joe, next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. It's tough. I'm sure we're all feeling great after that win. Big fan of the show. Listen every day on my way to work. I just want to say after games like this week and last week and many other games I've watched before, I just take off my Josh Allen jersey thinking, you know, that's my quarterback and we're never out of the game. With him back there putting on the, quote, Superman cape and taking these games over. And then the balance that Cook brings just, you know, adds to it. And I just wanted to also say, you know, what a surprise Ray Davis has been on these kick returns. Like, who would have saw that with I'm happy they found a spot for him on the team. I'll listen to your response. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Davis has not been much on offense this year, but some big moments on kick returns, as you said. Here's Lee next. Hi, Lee.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I got three things real quick. My first one is I'm a little disappointed how the NFL actually reacted to that. Like, they were so quick to do an instant replay on the Brandon Cooks catch, but not the, you know, the catch over that New England had. My second thing here is I thought Matt Ryan on CBS, he made a very good point, and he said Sean McDermott outcoached Mike Vrabel in the second half. But these comebacks, I get it. You know, there's that old saying, good teams find a way to win. But J.J. Watt explained it during the broadcast that, yes, it's not the New England fault that they're playing a soft schedule, but they haven't played a guy like Josh Allen. And the reason why they lost the first matchup is because of three turnovers. I just want to hear what you guys have to say.
I don't think there's any arguing that three turnovers in the first meeting with New England had a huge impact on the game. It was a three-point game that New England, you know, won at the gun. So, you know, turning it over like that is going to sting you in those games. No, you know, no doubt.
I could go all night. We don't have all night. And if we did, we wouldn't want to. We wouldn't go all night. But the replay thing.
I don't know what that.
Don't get me started. I mean, McDermott got a pretty tame question about it after the game, and he put it back to the reporter, which I thought was, you know, unfortunate. Like, there's nothing wrong with the question. He just, it's probably like a landmine to him. Yeah. He doesn't want to have to say anything about what did he end up saying? The officials do a great job?
I feel like there was a qualifier in there. They do a great job most of the time, sometimes, like letting you know what's happening. I don't know, but it's confounding. You know, maybe McDermott needs to make more of a spectacle of himself about thinking about throwing the flag, because Vrabel's, by the time the camera gets to Vrabel, I don't know, maybe the review of the Cooks play was already being enacted by Skyref, but he's on the field. talking to the officials, and I don't know, like, what happened on the Bills' version of that, if McDermott maybe could have gotten their attention and held things up, because New England did do a good job of getting up and quickly going on the ball. It's understandable to me that you didn't have a great look at it, before they ran a play. But that's the question about Skyref, that I think if there's a question about a play and you're going to use that at times to one team's advantage, you should, I think, use it equitably all like across the board. And it was not a consideration, it seems. Or they looked at it quickly before New England ran a play and just said, that's good enough. It's a catch.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it probably correlates with McDermott saying that they didn't have a replay of that fast enough. Like that was ultimately his answer on that play, was right, that we didn't have a look at it that told us to challenge it. And I guess the Moonref has the same, you know,
yeah,
operations or something, where he or she may not have had the replay in time either, and it went fast. Did the Patriots run a play before we saw that the ball wasn't caught? Maybe? Like it was already too late?
It was so fast.
And plus on the Cooks one, he bobbles it twice. Like he drops it twice before catching it. So that's one where you would immediately have the instinct to see if he got his feet in. Whereas Bouti maybe not. I'm saying Bouti now, like the way people are saying Mariota.
I see.
Somebody else said that today.
Mariota?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I did read that he did, before this Sunday night game a couple weeks ago, correct everyone and say, this is how you say my name.
All right. Great. So, are we going to do it?
No.
We don't care enough to acknowledge his preference.
Tariq and Collinsworth were good enough to try it for a half, and then they quit.
They bailed on it.
I don't feel like, you know, working on AM radio in Buffalo, I need to carry the flag.
All right, that's says something about you. Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll have Josh Allen's post game comments for you next. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. The Bills over the Patriots, 35-31. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here to the locker room now. Josh Allen coming up. It's brought to you, this part of the show, by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Josh Allen.
We stayed the course. Stayed together. Didn't ride the highs. Didn't ride the lows. Told ourselves at halftime, you know, we really felt like we were hurting ourselves in the first half. You know, going out there and just trying to execute each and every given play.
That always, it comes off like hollow words, I think, sometimes. People talk about one game at a time, one play at a time, staying together, and people are like, okay, but what is it about that really holds true? Is there able to dig down below the surface as to how you guys are able to do that?
Well, I think it's the love that each man in that locker room has for each other, the willingness to put their body on the line in order to not let their teammates down. And I think that's the driving force. It's the relationships in that room, you know, and whether we're playing really good, whether we're playing really bad, this team, we're going to stick together and continue to fight and continue to try to find ways to win football games. And I think we saw that tonight.
Now that it's over, can you say that during the week there was a little bit of motivation to prevent that team from taking your title at least this week?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's the most important one because it's the next one. I know I say that a lot. It's no different. You know, we understood what was at stake, but at the same time, that wasn't really in the back of our heads. We were just, hey, we got to find a way to win a football game. And, you know, that's what we did tonight.
On the road against a team that just won 10 games in a row, I know that you talked about, you know, rebounding at halftime, but what sparked you guys? Because it felt like there was no hope for a while there.
Yeah. Score, stop, score. I think that's what we did coming out. You know, I think we've been pretty dang good at that over the course of the season. Now, obviously, we want to start faster. We don't want to continue to put ourselves in these holes that we're finding ourselves in. But being able to dig ourselves out and be battle-tested come down the stretch here. But, yeah, I would love to find ways earlier on in the game to get things going so we don't have to put ourselves in that situation.
You said score, stop, score. After the Steelers game, I think it was you guys were on defense, stop, score, stop, whatever it was. Are those words, like, said at halftime? Does somebody get up and say that? This is what we need to do?
Yeah, and if it's not said, it's known within the locker room. But, yeah, it's said by a lot of guys. You know, that's the belief that we have in each other of this is what we're going to do. You know, and it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to go out there and do it.
What have you seen with Dawson Knox the last couple of weeks?
I mean, he just continues to find himself in good situations. He's been making plays. You know, early on in the year, maybe not a whole lot of hay coming his way, but, you know, he's never once complained. He's worked his butt off. He's blocked his tail off in the run game. You know, he's finding himself with these opportunities, you know, come the last few weeks, and he's taking advantage of them, and I love the guy.
Josh, you were almost seeking out contact today, second downs, running into linebackers. Is that AFC East title on the line, or is what goes into your decision with those?
I wish I could tell you, to be honest. You know, sometimes it's just that's what the play calls for. I don't know. It's just trying to make plays for the football team.
Yesterday, like for you guys, were in Providence, right? We're fairly close to the shooting and the shelter in place and all that. What was the day like for
you?
Yeah,
very, very scary situation. Obviously, condolences to the families and, you know, prayers are out to everyone that was involved and affected by it. It's a terrible thing. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, we're out. Some guys are eating dinner, you know, blocks away from where it was going on and, you know, making sure that we were getting updates from our team. And I thought we did a great job of communicating with everybody and adding some extra security, you know, at the hotel. But, yeah, very scary situation.
You guys you were already in town and you were able to get out of the hotel before it happened?
Correct.
So there were guys out and about?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. I was told that you guys got in right as it was happening. You went right to the hotel. So that was not true. You guys were in and...
I don't know the timeline exactly, but I know there was guys at dinner when the text was being sent out.
Josh, how are you physically? The broadcast showed you vomiting, throwing up a little bit on the sideline.
That's, I mean, if they don't catch it every game, I don't know. Like, it basically happens every game. You know, if I don't get enough out pregame, you know, it usually happens at halftime. If I don't get enough at halftime, it usually happens in the third or fourth quarter. And that's just, I don't know why I do it. It just happens, and it's... Do it to nothing else but other than just like a weird feeling. Just got to get it out.
So you were a little slow to get up after one play, too. Any issues health-wise?
Oh, no. All good. Yeah.
Josh, I know after a lot of these comebacks that you guys make, we ask you if there's a play or a moment that stands out. Is there in this game?
I think, you know, coming out of that second half, may have been Ray Davis' return, you know, putting us in good field position. Giving us confidence of, hey, like, let's just go play football now. And we don't have to worry about the score. We're going to take it one game, one play at a time. But him, he did a great job. He's done a great job the entire season, you know, in that kickoff return spot. And, you know, he's set us up for some really good field position.
I haven't been in games like this. Could you see them starting to get tighter and starting to maybe lose confidence a little bit as you guys were wearing them down?
I wouldn't say that. That's a fantastic team. You don't. I think you said they won 10 straight, right? You don't win 10 straight by not being a really, really fantastic football team. So, again, it just kind of sometimes comes down to who makes more plays, and tonight that was us.
At that point on the sideline, on a play, Matt Milano looked like he got punched in the face, and he responded with probably one of the best halves he's played all season. How much did that mean to that defense? I know you were on the tablet, but...
Yeah, I mean, I know he had a couple sacks tonight, some big-time plays for our defense. You know, that's the Matt Milano we all know and love.
The third down game on the line, you'd call a play for Ty Johnson. I know you've been very complimentary of, you know, what he provides to this team, but to see him, you know, kind of gut out those tough yards and kind of ice the game for you there, what's that mean to you?
I mean, he's always been ready. He stays ready. Whenever his number's called, you know, he's primarily our third down back. But, you know, when he has the ball in his hands, typically good things happen. He's a thicker little guy, like just built. And he's hard to bring down. So, you know, in that situation, just giving him the ball and letting him push the pile.
What was the thought after you did all that work to finally get ahead and then one play later we're back in the lead, so you got to do it again? What was the feeling there?
Get up and get out there and play football, one play at a time.
You once talked about the Brady era Patriots being the standard of the AFC East, as they were for so long. You guys keep your season alive here, or your AFC alive. What's your pride in being the standard bearer for this division?
Well, honestly, we're not in first place right now, so I can't say that we're the standard bearer. Obviously, the last five-ish years, you know, we've found sustained success, but never been able to, you know, punch our ticket to the Super Bowl. And at the end of the goal, that's every team's dream. And you know, our goal is not just to win AFC Easts. You know, you got to get into the playoffs to give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl. So that's what we're trying to do.
Big news over the last 48 hours. I mean, is this weekend been a bit of a whirlwind for you?
I mean, I've known for a long time, right? So it's not that crazy to me. But yeah, I mean, obviously the love that I've received from, you know, teammates and friends. You know, it's a really cool, special moment in my life and in my wife's life. And yeah.
Gosh, this team, your team and you don't lack for confidence. But when you're able to win a game like this, down 21-0 and whatever it was that time, what does it do? Anything? Because you guys do play at such a high confidence level. But then to be able to do that, there has to be some sort of growth or a realization, no?
I think it's maybe over the course of the season what we've done, and you saw it today, of what makes this team of, you know, we're not out of it. You know, we're going to continue to fight one play at a time, no matter what the score is. If it's in the third quarter, it's in the fourth quarter, whatever it is. You know, if we've got a chance and we got the ball, you know, we feel like we like our chances, and, you know, that's that.
Allen today, 19 for 28, 193-3, plus another 48 on the ground. Good enough to win. Better take that down, 35-31 Bills. Thanks for being with us tonight. Back with you next Sunday in Cleveland. Or we won't be in Cleveland, but the Bills will be. 1 o'clock game. See you then. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.